Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you a question. From what do you get comfort? What soothes you? What consoles you? What reassures you? What is it that calms you? As I thought about those questions, some thoughts came to mind. Standing next to a nice warm wood stove comforts me. We had a wood stove in Central Oregon, and when you'd come in from the outside where it was a lot colder than it is here, standing next to that stove was so comforting. Hugging Ann comforts me. Foods comfort me. Ann makes a noodle dish that has cheese and hamburger and a lot of other good stuff in. That's what we call comfort food. Perhaps there are things that comfort you as well. Maybe it's resting your head on somebody's shoulder. Or maybe just holding their hand comforts you. Thinking about Christmas's past may bring comfort to you. Or maybe there's a favorite song or a favorite hymn that you have that comforts you. Maybe it's something as simple as your pet sitting on your lap or sitting there next to you. Maybe that comforts you. Perhaps it's a prayer that you say with someone else, or praying here in church perhaps brings you comfort. The Old Testament lesson today starts out with that word comfort. In fact, it's repeated. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Those words were written by Isaiah some 700 years before Christ and 200 years before the people that he was talking about lived. The people that he spoke to, the people that he wanted to comfort, were in exile in Babylon. And it's God's word that Isaiah is saying to those people that he's writing. Those people in exile had been defeated by Babylon. They'd been captured and taken away to a country far away. And now they'd been in that exile for 50 or 60 years. And they may have been thinking, perhaps God has forgotten us. If you think about it, their children were probably being influenced by the Babylonian culture, and they probably weren't too crazy about that whole idea. As we read these words today, these words of reassurance, these words of comfort, we might better understand them to say, God is saying to those people, be comforted, be reassured. Everything is going to be okay. Better times are coming. You'll notice that he repeats that word comfort twice. And in the Old Testament, when a word is repeated twice, it was intended for emphasis. Isaiah was emphasizing that word comfort to comfort the people. The first verses of the chapter of the first chapter of Isaiah, we read these words. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah is repeating God's words. These are not just his words, but these are God's words that he's saying and writing to the people of Israel. This is God speaking to comfort his people. He wants to relieve them of their fears. He wants to reassure them that he has not forgotten them. He wants to encourage them. He's saying, be comforted, my people. Be reassured, my people. Everything is going to be okay. Better times are coming. And you notice that God says, my people. Those are the people that he is speaking to. This is God calling his people. The people he led out of Egypt, the people he led through the wilderness, the people that he led into the promised land. But over time, the people that were God's people tended to stray away from him. They began worshiping idols. They began following the ways of the Canaanites who were in the land when they took over. They worshiped at Asherah poles, and they worshiped in the high places, as the Bible talks about. But now those people are in exile, and God wants to comfort them. He's telling them their time of difficulty is over. He's saying, your sins are forgiven. All that is past. God spoke to his people. But God speaks to us today too with these same words, because we too stray from God. We have strayed from his word. We've not stored up heavenly things, but we tend to store up earthly things. We've made earthly things our idols and placed them ahead of our belief in God. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Some would say that we are ourselves are in exile here on this earth. And if you think about it, our culture is changing so rapidly that we might feel like God has forgotten us as well. We too might be concerned that our culture is having a negative impact on our children, that they're being overly influenced by society. And so we need to hear that God speaks words of comfort to us today as well. We need to be reassured that God has not forgotten us, that God's earth on a church on earth will continue. We need to be reassured and comforted that God is still in control. So those Old Testament words that were written to people who lived 500 years before Christ still ring true for us today. God speaks to us people here at Emmanuel. He says, be comforted, my people. Be reassured, my people. Everything is going to be okay. If not in this world, then certainly in the next. Because on that last day I have promised that I will come and take you home from this land of exile in which we live. And, God might say, as I offer my comfort to you, then I want you to pass on that comfort to others. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians. He tends to complicate things a little bit, and so I take a little bit of poetic license here to summarize what he says. Blessed be our merciful God of all comfort, because he comforts us. And because he comforts us, we can then be a comfort to others. Simply said, you might call it paying it forward. Paul says, because we received God's comfort, we need to pass on that comfort to others. And we may do this in ways that we don't even realize, that we don't know or that we don't understand, but we might. Here's an example. Douglas was a 15-year-old young man who had been ill for several days. So his mother took him to the hospital to be checked out, and the doctors did some tests, and they discovered that he had leukemia. They were very frank with him. They said, for the next 3 years, you're going to be on chemotherapy. You're going to lose your hair, and your body is most likely going to get bloated. That was very depressing for Douglas, and he went into a deep and dark and prolonged depression. Sometime after that, an aunt called a flower shop and asked them to send some flowers to his niece, nephew who was in the hospital who had leukemia. When those flowers arrived, Douglas looked at the card from his aunt and put it aside. And then he noticed that there was another card that was there. So he opened the card, and this is what he read. Douglas, I am the florist who prayed for you while creating this arrangement of flowers, just for you. You see, I had leukemia when I was just 7 years old, and I am now 22 years old, and I am in good health. My heart goes out to you, Douglas. Sincerely, Laura. From that day on, Douglas began to get better, and he was ultimately cured of his leukemia. You see, in spite of being treated in a hospital that had multi-millions of dollars worth of equipment, and doctors and nurses who had combined hundreds of years of experience and training, it was the words of a florist who made the most difference. It was the words of a person who probably made minimum wage that provided the comfort in Douglas's life that he needed. Today we receive comfort from God's words in the book of Isaiah. Be comforted, people of Emmanuel. Know that I sent my Son into the world so that you might be saved, God says. Know that my Son will come into your hearts again this Christmas. Know that I have left the Holy Spirit to guide you through the time of exile in this world. God finally says, know that my Son Jesus will come again one day to take you to eternal life. So as we read these words today, God offers his mercy and his comfort to us. And may we pass on that mercy and comfort to all of those around us in the coming weeks. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.